Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. The R-Rated Podcast. This week's guest is...
Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. Today's new guests are Crystal and Brandon, and they are stunt performers. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. First, I wanted to ask you guys where you're from.
I'm from Northern California originally. I was born in San Francisco.
No way. I'm from the Bay too. San Jose. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a small world.
Pittsburgh Bay Point.
Amazing. Okay. What about you, Brandon?
I'm from Arkansas.
Arkansas. Okay. So when did you guys decide to move to LA? Was this like a recent thing?
I just celebrated my 15th year in LA.
Congratulations. What about you?
I moved here probably 2014.
2014.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you guys always know you wanted to do stunt performing, or was this like a later in life type of situation?
I knew I wanted to be in LA.
Okay.
I started in acting, so I knew I wanted to be here. This is where I've always wanted to be.
Okay, cool.
Not for you. I did not want to be in LA.
I did not. It never really occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of the military, and I went and I was teaching at my dad's martial arts school.
Okay.
And one of my dad's instructors, who he's been training with for years and years, is Dana Nasano.
Oh, cool.
Who was Bruce Lee's best friend and did a lot
it's
of
pretty
films.
Pretty badass.
did a lot of films with him, but
yeah.
Trained with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to talk to my dad about coming out to LA and doing stunts. And my dad would always like, no, you know, he's doing his own thing.
Right.
And I was like, maybe I should do that. And that was pretty much the end of it. You know, it was like a one-time thing, said it. And then years later, a girlfriend I had at the time mm-hmm. got offered a PA job mm-hmm. on Hell's Kitchen. So we moved to LA. And I was like, all I know how to do is punch people in the face and shoot things. What do I do?
What do
me?
I do? Yeah.
So I was a bodyguard for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then... And then I was like, well, the stunt thing sounds pretty cool. Maybe I could do that.
Yeah.
So,
how do you even start off, like, getting into the stunt world, you know? Like, where would you even apply for that or start, you know?
That's a great question. there's a couple.
Asking for a friend. No, I'm just kidding.
There's a couple different things that people do.
Okay.
What I recommend is going to the stunt gyms.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Jam,
okay.
which is a really good place.
Mm-hmm.
Some stunt people like to go to Tempest,
okay.
stuff like that, and then getting into live stunt shows because you get.
Can you give me an example of a live stunt show? Like, what would that be?
Waterworld at Universal is a good
one.
Oh
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
We've both been
somebody
in
just
live
got
stunt
injured
shows.
Too, right? Like not too long ago.
Yeah, it's not without its risks.
Yeah,
stunts in general does have risks.
Yeah,
but our job as stunt performers and as stunt coordinators is to mm-hmm. train and think of all the potential risks and mitigate them.
So you wanted to be an actress, and when did you go in the other direction? Or do you also still act?
Yeah, I still act as well.
Okay.
Stunts was not a part of the original plan, but when I was in acting school, mm-hmm. I did a conservatory, and then I went to UCLA, and I always loved the stage combat classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while, I thought, well, maybe I'll get into the SAFD and, like, learn theatrical combat and teach it or choreograph or something like that.
Yeah.
But that was kind of a fleeting thought. It wasn't until I had graduated college and I started being on set and actually hanging out at Muscle Beach in Santa Monica.
Love it.
Yeah,
love it.
I still like to do the rings there a lot.
Cool.
But that I met a lot of stunt people
mm-hmm.
and they were the coolest people on set. I mean, you just want to go and hang out with them.
Right.
And they all have a really great attitude. At the time, I remember kind of being with a lot of actors from my classes,
mm-hmm.
both in college and after college. And
mm-hmm.
I had one lunch in particular where everyone was kind of whining about how their agent wasn't calling and they just couldn't catch a break.
Yeah.
And at the end of that lunch, I was like, man, I don't like this. I don't like how, you know, that wasn't a good energy for me to be around.
Right.
But then at the same time, I was meeting a lot of stunt people and it was like an entirely different vibe. Everyone's like, hey, you want to get together and like shoot a fight scene this weekend? Or, oh, let's go climbing.
That's
like,
cool.
Let's go on a camping trip. And everyone's just much more
upbeat. We're like unified almost.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I just was really drawn to that vibe. And
mm-hmm.
At I started training with stunt people, and then I actually booked my first live show and almost didn't go to the audition and then almost didn't accept it because I was like, oh, I feel like I'm finally getting some traction in LA, which I totally wasn't. Now looking back, I was like, oh, that's cute.
What was your first live show?
I toured with Marvel Universe Live.
Oh, okay.
For
what?
3 years.
That was your first gig? Well, yeah. That was pretty badass.
It was an arena stunt show, and we toured all over the U.S. and Canada and Europe.
Whoa.
And it was like getting paid to go to stunt school. It was great. And travel.
Sign me up. What is training like? Do you guys have the same training process, or is there a set way to train, or is it kind of how you feel safe? How do you guys go about that?
So usually what it is you reach out to a bunch of buddies, mm-hmm. and go, hey, I want to work on this.
Okay.
And then you determine, is this something we can work on in a park, mm-hmm. or is this something we need soft floors for? So
right.
then you go to Jam or Tempest or something like that.
Okay.
Usually stunt performers are really super willing to share what they know.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Sometimes a little too willing. And so, if you reach out to the right people, mm-hmm. you could get tons of training for mm-hmm. free. Usually I would say you want to have something to give in return.
Right.
So even if you don't have money or you don't have, you can't buy them lunch or something, mm-hmm. if you have a skill set that you can also teach,
right.
and so you can trade these skill sets,
mm-hmm.
That's usually the best way to train. If you're hey, if you can help me with my acting, I'll teach you sword work. Or if
you you guys do sword work also?
He's an amazing swordsman.
Yes. So it's more than just punching each other and dodging kicks and flips and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's lots of specialties. I would say we're both kind of well-rounded stunt performers, but there's people who specialize in, mm-hmm. There are horse people that have been riding horses since they could walk. Or, people that have been doing martial arts and mm-hmm. they specialize in one specific martial art that they've been doing since they could walk. And or gymnastics is another mm-hmm. one, tricking.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are very specialized and will get hired for those skills. And it's I could start training tomorrow and spend a ton of money trying to get really great at horses or gymnastics, but I'm never going to be as good as someone who's been doing it their whole life.
Yeah, I get that. How do you make it a safe training experience in the first place? Because don't you... You have to try everything once, right? To see if this, it's almost like a dance routine, right? We're going to maybe do a punch here and then this and that. So how do you make it safe without, when you're trying it for the first time?
There are progressions to everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if your fights are arguably the safest thing we do.
Mm.
Because you can be so far away mm-hmm. because the camera's depth perception is trash.
Right.
So you can be super far away. And mm-hmm. so you can slowly get closer if you mm-hmm. want to. And then when you start getting into high falls, right?
Okay.
You can start doing that at, where you're falling right above the pad. And then you work your way up to, 50 feet or whatever onto an mm-hmm. airbag. Mm-hmm. So it's a super small progression as you're going. The one thing that is a little harder to do progression-wise, mm-hmm. which Crystal's really good at, mm-hmm. is fire burns.
Please elaborate. What are you doing?
Another live show I did was called the Special Effects Show at Universal.
Oh, I've seen that one before.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, I watched you.
I am so sad that it has just gotten, they just canceled the show. They're putting a roller coaster there, which I think is so sad because it was a really cool show.
That was really cool to see.
Thankfully, Waterworld is still going strong.
Yes.
So it's been over 25 years of that show. Same company ran that one and ran the company that runs Waterworld also ran a special event show, Action Horizons.
Yeah.
But yeah, I worked for them and I did over 350 fire burns. You can accrue a lot when you're doing five times a day.
How do you even train for that? How does that work?
I was lucky in that my first time ever doing it, I was with a friend before I got cast and mm-hmm. He had done a bunch of fire burns for other shows and skill sharing, right? Everyone is leveling up together. And so we got some friends together and we went out to the park and he taught us how to do it. And I was very lucky, and this is how I will always teach it, to just do an arm burn first and not do any sort of acting with it or anything. Just we gelled up and we put the gear on and the article of clothing that we were burning. And then you just sit there and just feel it, because your brain is yelling at you that, like, I'm on fire. Yeah. Like, hello. It is not a natural thing. Yeah. And everything inside of you is like, this is not supposed to happen.
I can't even imagine.
So you just kind of have to work past that with your inner monologue. Like, no, yeah. I've trained for this. This is how it's supposed to feel. It's warm, not mm-hmm. hot. Like, mm-hmm. everything's fine. And then when I've had enough or it starts getting a little too hot, then yeah. I can, you know, turn it. I just give them a nod and then they put me out.
Oh my God. You make it sound so casual. I'm like, you're on fire.
Yeah.
So funny. My first fire burn was full body.
Yeah. And a lot of people do
Were
that.
You nervous? Like,
and I'm like, I like the arm first and yeah. then you can go from yeah. there. That's
I say full body. It was three quarters.
Yeah.
How do you handle that when, like, maybe, you know, it's your first time, you didn't expect that. And they're like, all right, you're going in full body. Like, what are your thoughts in this moment?
I didn't have a whole lot.
I'm on fire.
Yeah, no,
fire. I was, stop, drop, and roll.
I was pretty calm, and I was with a stunt coordinator that I trust more than just about anybody. Okay. And he'd walked me through it and had me walk the route I was going to take on mm-hmm. fire with, you know, beforehand.
Yeah.
So I walked it tons of times all the way to the point where I'm laying down. So okay. it was like I, okay. from start to finish.
So everything was planned.
I walked
out,
through it. I mean, probably 20 times.
Okay,
you should say his
and,
name.
Is Banzai Vitali.
Okay, very cool.
And he he right. owns the Stunt Performers yeah. Academy.
You were asking about training,
which is the only stunt performer school that is recognized by, like, the Stuntmen Association.
Really? Is it in LA?
It is in LA.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. and. And Banzai has been doing stunts for years and years and years.
Mm.
And just absolutely amazing man in general. But hit the wealth of knowledge from him is insane. Wow. And so I was doing it with him. And he was super cool. He was like, you got this.
Yeah.
This is easy.
Yeah.
he walked me through the process as I'm getting dressed. He's like talking to me, kind of checking out. Because at any point in time, he can be like, you're not ready for this, right?
Right.
But, you know, like, I wasn't really nervous. Okay. I trusted him. I knew
you
the
wouldn't
rules.
Get hands.
Yeah,
yeah.
I knew the rules. I knew that if at any point something felt wrong, I'd just lay down and that it'd be done, you know? And so he felt comfortable with me.
Mm-hmm.
Walked through. We did the whole thing. And I was actually doing it in a super safe place. We had tons of fire safety. And it was for his school. Because when you go through the stunt performer school,
yeah,
one of the things you learn is fire safety. Because we do a lot of fire burns and
right.
stuff.
Right, yeah.
And so in order for his students to do fire safety, they need someone on fire. And so right. I was like, well, this is
that
a super safe environment to do this. And there's right. no pressure of being on set.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was super great. I didn't even realize I was on fire until about 15 seconds later. Because
what,
I was
like,
walking.
What you, oh, because you're walking. Okay.
So, like, you know, the flames are behind me. Or I was kind of like walk running.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really feel them for about 15 seconds. And then it like gets exponentially hotter.
Yep. Like instantly you feel it like super. So the suit doesn't really help with the heat. It's just more like so you don't get burned.
Yeah.
Or,
eventually yeah. the fire will get through. So yeah. you're
oh,
just.
My, like how long do you have before you like actually catch on fire? Like what's.
I mean, I was on fire. Fully on
but
fire.
But like where it like would kill like, you know, like you get. Yeah. burns
oh
like,
there are burns that go like
you get
over
burns
a minute
too?
Like that what is the oh my
the
God. Jason Domenico
who
the
runs
longest burn which is like over 5 minutes
again. Yeah he runs Action
oh my
Factory.
God
he owns Action Factory which is like the premier fire burn company they do all kinds of stunts not just that but they really
most of my burns have been with their proprietary
most
yeah,
of my
gel.
They really innovated the fire burn gel and stuff like that and created like if you're doing a fire burn it's Action Factory stuff usually.
Wow.
And he holds the record I think at like yeah like over 5 minutes
because oh and for longer burns I haven't done one that long but
yeah.
you can be on oxygen.
Oh,
but that adds a whole nother layer,
right?
Because you can't breathe if you're completely engulfed in flames. So.
Yeah,
and then of course oxygen's flammable, so that's another layer that you're adding. So.
I'm so stressed.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far into it myself, but I know that that's a thing. Yeah.
Wow. What for people who wouldn't know, like, what the difference is between a stunt coordinator and a stunt performer? Like, what are the differences?
Knowledge and. I mean, you're taking people's lives into your hands as a stunt coordinator every day. Every decision you make is safety. Like,
right.
that's your main concern. So you're looking out for everyone, and then you're hiring on people from other departments. Like, so you'd be in charge of like rigging, or if you were going to do a fire burn and maybe you weren't as comfortable as you could be yourself, then you could bring in a fire burn expert to come in for the day. And so the stunt coordinator is kind of like the stunt department manager in a way, and hires everyone and makes sure everyone's safe, and then talks to production and makes sure that everything is organized for the stunt department to get them what they want for the day.
Yeah. I would say the biggest difference between the two for me
is
that as a stunt performer, you're really just worried about your stunt. Okay. So you're like, I'm going to get shot in the head. I'm going to fall down into this fountain.
Okay.
And so like you might walk that a few times. Most of the time when you're not doing that, you're walking around chilling, hanging out with the other stunt people, you know, like, but as a stunt coordinator, you're having to deal with production. You're having to deal with the director. Okay. You're having to talk to camera and be like, hey, for this, we're really going to need this kind of angle. You need to know what your hair needs to look like, what the wardrobe needs to look like. So you're like, your hands are in everything. You need to know a little bit of what everybody's doing and make sure it's in budget, how much these are going to cost.
Right.
And then you've got to trust that your stunt performers are capable of doing what you've hired them to do.
Right.
And so I wouldn't say you have to know everything about stunts to be a stunt coordinator.
And safety, too.
Yeah, and you're in charge of everyone's safety.
That's a lot of pressure.
I would say you need to know a little bit about everything in stunts, right? So, like, you don't need to know everything about rigging and everything about stunt driving and everything about fire burns and everything about, you know, like, that's too much for anybody. You'd spend your whole life learning, which you should do.
Right.
But you know, that's just not a reasonable thing to expect of a stunt coordinator. But they should know enough to know when to call certain people, when to call it if they see something unsafe. Like, what should I look for when I have rigging on my set?
Right.
What, like, I know that looks unsafe. I should be able to call it, you know? Otherwise, you don't know any better, and you're just trusting the person you hired.
Right.
Which is great, but you want that second layer of safety.
Yeah.
So,
is it common to, like when there's multiple people performing the stunts, like, is it common to know each other? Or, like, are you getting paired up sometimes with people that you've never worked with before? And it's like, if you are, how's that chemistry? Like, if, you know, you've never worked together, like, how does that work?
A lot of stunt people know each other.
Really?
It's a pretty insular little world. And if you don't know each other, you probably know people who know this person. So I've worked with stunt coordinators who didn't know me themselves, but they called up another stunt coordinator buddy of theirs who were like, okay, Crystal's cool. No,
Crystal's cool.
Which is a huge compliment. Yeah. It's nice when you can keep working because of the recommendations of people you've already worked with. But that's, I would say, how a lot of people get hired is because they're recommended through the industry.
Wow. So how did you guys meet? Did you guys meet on set?
Like,
did you guys find each other and then it was like true love?
I taught her how to shoot people.
Yeah.
Really?
I saw the
before or after dating?
Before and after dating. I saw that a lot of my friends were posting about this awesome tactical class that they were taking and that they learned so much and it was gonna help them with their roles and all of this. And so I just randomly DM'd him and was like, hi, I'd like to know more about this tactical class. Cool. I'd like to come take this class. And at the time he was like, oh, cool. Well, yeah, I usually wait for like, you know, like 15 people before I put a class together.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I actually have like a film coming up that I'm like helping out with. And there's a lot of tactical stuff. So I would love to like learn more.
What exactly is like tactical stuff?
Gun work and moving with a gun, rifles, it's safety, of course, like even without a real gun on set, like you still want to treat it like
it's
a real thing. Like I mean, we've seen tragedies because people didn't do that so at the time I wanted to take this class and I was like, called him back in like 20 minutes and I'm like, okay, I've got 15 people ready to take your class. Can we do this? Because I was in a hurry.
Yeah. And where were your classes? Like, was it like at a gym or at the park?
No, they were in my garage.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had, at the time, I was teaching for free because I just wanted sub performers to have somebody that they could learn gun work from.
Yeah.
That, you know, didn't cost anything because
that's really
it was like, it's hard to afford training when you first start getting into stunts. It doesn't sound cheap. You know what I mean? So when you first start getting into stunts, you're like, well, I want to get better, but how do I get better without spending tons of money? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I was like, well, I'll teach tactical work. And so I was teaching out of my garage, and I had these like gymnastic pads, like mm-hmm. the panel mats, mm-hmm. and I would make rooms and stuff with it. And of course I had like the house for people to try to clear. And,
right.
And so, yeah. So
how was that first class? Like, was it fun?
It was great. I had no idea.
I mean, it must have worked out. It must have been a good class, yeah. right? You guys want to be sitting here?
What was it like when I walked in again?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Yeah. She walked up and I was like, this girl's trouble.
And now they're engaged getting married.
Yeah. And, yep. That was a.
So how long after you had that first class with him, did you guys like start dating? Like,
I had no idea that he felt anything like that. I was
Did you go away. Back for more classes? Or?
Yeah, I was, I was blown away by his generosity because he was helping out all of our fellow stunt performers.
Yeah.
And then I totally took advantage of it because I later called him and had him help me with the project, going over the tactical work with them. I was choreographing some fights for a little indie project, and there was more gun work in it than I was comfortable doing myself, so I wanted to have someone more experienced come in, and he did great, and we kind of put together this little workshop for my cast and got them to like a good knowledge point to start with to go into choreography, so that was cool. And then he later started teaching at a place that I was already training, Mind's Eye Tribe Academy, Action Actors Academy. So then we ran into each other there, and then we both got cast as a dinosaur at Universal.
No way! At the same time?
Yeah.
We were matched up in the audition.
Without them even knowing that you guys...
I didn't know he was going to be there.
I didn't know he was going
to... We were matched up in the audition. I was the only girl because they had never had a woman be a dinosaur before. Because I think it was that they didn't have separate changing rooms was like the main reason. But then they actually invited me to the audition because they were thinking that maybe they would open it up to women. And they knew me already because it was the same company that did the special effects show. And so they knew I was strong and they thought that I could handle it.
Yeah.
But part of the audition was putting on like a 50-pound backpack and doing lunges all the way across the floor and then walking with other people in sync with that weight on and then holding a plank, and they were like, we'll just see till everyone gives up, you know, then we'll just see who's at the end. Nobody gave up.
Really?
We were the last people having to do the lunges all the way across the floor, and of course as the only woman there I'm like, I'm not giving
up. Yeah, like I'm staying to the end.
And it was so hard.
We sat in the plank position for like
four minutes.
Oh my god, that's
finally they were just like,
you guys,
everyone's done.
But like, okay, you got the part. Like,
we were the last one to do the lunge. We were the last group to do the lunges, and then they immediately went into the plank hold. So everyone else had a nice
like little break. Yeah. Oh my god.
But it was that was the first time that I was like, maybe a good team.
Yeah. After like 2 minutes, everybody's like playing rock paper scissors to try to keep like their body from shaking too bad.
Oh my god!
We're all trauma.
Do you guys work often together, or do you guys do your own thing?
Yeah, no, we work together a lot now. A lot, actually.
Yeah. Do you guys recommend each other, or is it just like you guys, you know, like the stunt coordinators, like you guys make such a good team? We want you guys for the set.
Normally, if we are hired as performers, we typically don't work together. If we do, it's because she's the stunt coordinator, and she hires me to do something specific, or I get hired by production to be a tactical advisor, and she's hired to be a performer, or I'm there as a fight choreographer, and she's there as a, you know, like, because I'd rather be behind the scenes choreographing than hitting concrete. I don't mind hitting concrete for people. I love doing it. But my passion really is like the creative process of coming up with fights. And so when we work together, it's usually because the production hires us together.
Got it.
And so they're like, these two together have these skill sets that just make them a great team.
Well, and like indie projects, you know, everyone's looking for recommendations and like who you like working with. And often it's a little bit more like friends helping friends. And so we work together a lot on that stuff. And then it happens quite a bit that maybe I get hired on as a stunt coordinator for a little indie project, but then like I'm working something else on one of the days, so I have to bring him in coordinate. And then we had done that on one project that I had like already been working a thing, and then I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, they actually booked me for the thing I was already working, but I know a great stunt coordinator to replace me. And then that same team ended up hiring us as a team to coordinate a like indie feature that we did together last year, and that was our first time like co-coordinating a full.
How do you guys like come up with like a new routine and like an original routine, you know, like are you guys watching other movies getting references, or are you just like how does it come up?
The way his brain works is amazing. He can just picks up a weapon and just sees the whole fight in front of him. It's amazing. Wow. It is not quite as natural for me. I wish it was. I'm learning. It takes a lot more work for me. He's just a natural with
it. In your opinion, like, do you guys think like John Wick has like really cool like stunts? Or like what movie would you say it's like, that's good stunt work? Like, that's like what we do or what we're trying to do.
Just because it's fresh in mind, we really liked Extraction.
Yeah.
Okay. Both Extraction movies we like just watched. And we were digging those stunts.
First off, Sam Hargrave, who directed those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing stunt performer, stunt coordinator, just amazing dude.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
Ooh,
Chris. Crushed it in the Extraction. Like, yeah. Anything that I would have nitpicked, and you know, and I don't. I don't watch people's stuff and, like, critique it. I'm there for the, like anybody else, I'm there for the enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't watch your gun work. And,
yeah, I don't watch your gun.
I don't care. I'm there for what you're doing. Right. You know? But one thing that really pulls me aside is Chris in 12 Strong, Extraction. His gun work is so smooth. Mm-hmm. And he makes mistakes. We all do. I make mistakes. Yeah. And that's like...
That's
like
part of it, right? Right? I mean,
that's why there's editing. You know, like,
sometimes I pick up a gun and when I pick it up, initially I'm not holding it correctly because I'm not doing the thing yet. Okay. You know what I mean? Okay. Like and stuff like that. Or I pick it up and I'm rushing because... I'm on set and I've got 20 different things to do and I've got 3 marks to hit. And,
yeah.
You know, like, so, but anytime I notice him holding the gun wrong or grabbing something, or it's immediately fixed, which is really where it comes down to, right? Wow. Like, it's not like you can't expect someone to be perfect all the time.
Right.
But
yeah, no.
if they make a mistake, they're back at it. Like, I was so impressed with Chris Hemsworth on that.
Wow. Yeah. Like, what do you do in a situation when you have this, like, you know, stunt planned out and you think it's going to go a certain way, but it's, like, not hitting right? Do you adjust and can you adjust? Or it's, like, no, this is what we rehearsed. We have to, like, get it right.
It depends.
Okay.
I would say you kind of adjust a lot on the day.
You
like,
do?
Yeah. So...
Is it because, like, you see the set, too?
It's flow. Like, yeah. So, yeah. Or, I mean, maybe you get to the set and you're like, oh, it would be cool if we brought in, like, this prop that's right here. Because anytime that you're in a fight scene, like, you're going to want to pull in whatever's around you because that's what you would do in a natural fight.
Right.
Like, we did a cool fight on the feature we did where it was set in a hotel room. And we're like, okay, what's it, like, what's naturally in a hotel room that we can work with? That's fun. So, like... We had a hit with one of those folding luggage racks. Yeah. Like somebody fought with that.
Yeah.
And then my absolute favorite, came up with this brilliant idea to hit someone with a Bible.
I knew it. I was like, a Bible.
Yes, you think of what's in a hotel room, and there it is.
That's great. That's entertaining.
Yeah. And we were trying to think of this fight, and all of a sudden he starts cracking up as I asked that question.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And he goes, Bible. I'm like, oh my god, that's great.
That is so good. So, oh my god,
it's in there.
And it was one of those things of where like the Bible's not gonna hurt someone, right?
Right.
And so we,
it's a comedy. I remember, action.
Right, right. You
couldn't tell. I remember us going like, what if he hits her with the Bible? Realizes that it's a guy fighting a girl.
Okay.
So what if he hits her with the Bible? Realizes it doesn't hurt her, so he punches through the Bible. And so like we were just like did this whole thing.
Fun.
and it was just, you know, we pre-visited a little bit, played with it, and it turned out absolutely hilarious.
I want to watch that. Yeah. That's cool.
One of my favorite scenes.
What's what would you say is like the hardest stunt to do or stunts?
That's pretty subjective. I would say fire because of your brain screaming at you. High fall because that's another one where your brain is screaming at you. And it's a really natural fear. And it's a good fear to have because it takes a split second for you to hesitate in the air. And it's very, very big
But where would you mistake. Even practice that? Like, where are you falling from?
You got to know someone.
Yeah.
you got to know people.
Yeah, you got to know people. Because, you know, there's so much safety when it comes to falling.
Yeah.
If you start to fall in the pads there and you go off, you know, you've got to make sure you have people there that can move the pad and safely catch you.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I don't know how true it is, but I'd heard once that a human only has, when we're born, we only have two fears. And that's falling and loud noises. And so when you're doing a fall for the first time, it can be like every time like you go up a little higher, you're like, this is scary. You know?
Yeah. Like, yes. No, it would be scary. That's why I'm like, how would you even practice that? Right? It's so scary.
And then one day you're like falling from like 45 feet and you're like, how'd I get here?
And there's a saying in stunts that it's complacency kills because you never want to get too comfortable with a stunt or think, oh, I've done that a million times.
Right.
Because that's the time that you'll be humbled.
You'll mess up. Yeah. Yeah. I would think so too.
You will be humbled.
Yeah.
It only takes a second. It only takes a second to not be on top of your game. And it's, I mean, like you brought up the Waterworld thing, like it's some big repercussions for not being as taking it as seriously as it deserves.
And I think it comes down to two things. Mm-hmm. It's new people who learn something and do it 10 times and think, oh, I've got it. And then there's like this point where you get to where you're like, I know enough to know I don't know everything. Right. And then there's the people who've been doing it for 30 years that are like, I've been doing this for 30 years. I know everything. I'm fine. So the first two or the first one and the last one are the ones that are going to get hurt. The guys in the middle are going to be safe.
Right.
You know, and hopefully they never turn into that third guy. Right. So it's always new people who, when you're fresh and you're real new, you're scared of everything. Like, or you're one of those people that are just like, oh, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I do. Yeah. We tend not to let those people get do very well in stunts. We like dial them back. You know?
Okay.
We don't want you. We want you to be safe. We don't want you to be an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah. Though.
There's kind of a story people talk about on set where it's like, if you ever needed somebody, you had all your stunt people for the day and maybe you needed somebody to do something that was somewhat stunty.
Yeah.
And so the only people that are available are the extras. And so you go over there and you're like, hey, does anybody have any stunt experience? And the people who are like me, and you're like,
no.
Anybody else? Hey, anybody else? Because we don't want that energy. It's a little too excited. We want the guys that are like, what do you need? Like, do I get extra pay? Like, yes, I have experience, but today I was just going to relax, sit and crafty.
So how do you guys like build your portfolio and like how do you get into auditions or like I don't even know if you have to audition for like stunts, but like how do you get your foot in the door, like with the studios and all that stuff?
Live set shows are a big thing, which you will have to audition for those. There's a lot of good ones out there. But getting in and getting paid to train is really what you're doing, right? Like, yeah, you're performing a show and stuff, but you're getting paid to train your fight, getting paid to train high falls, trampoline, whatever show you're working on.
But you're burning reps with live shows, and and the big thing is that you don't get a cut in live shows.
Yeah.
So it's being able to make it work, stay poised, stay safe, matter. And it's like, if worst comes to worst, you could, usually this is a signal for like cut the show, but that's like a serious last resort that rarely happens. So I've been in shows where somebody sprained their ankle and then you just kind of got to make do in the next scene that person's supposed to be in, and they're still getting the understudy suited up, but he's not here yet. So all of the guys come out and they're like, I'm not usually in this scene. Punch me in the face. Okay. You're just kind of talking through it because you're performing live to track. And those are it's the times that things do go a little wrong, but you all save it as a group that really are the memories that are made on live shows that you, I was just, we were just at a birthday party the other night, and it was a bunch of stunt people that have all done live shows through the years. You know, there was a stunt coordinator there who's been working for years, but he started in live shows a while back, and he had great stories, like just, and he was talking about all of these huge stunt coordinators now, like listing them off. And he's like, but we were all just like just starting and we were in live shows. And that's kind of the cool thing is that there's some people who have an attitude about live shows like you're nothing, you're just starting.
Really?
But
so catty.
There really is something to be said about how many reps you're getting. And pretty much anyone who's been in live shows appreciates that. And appreciates like, hey, even if you're a little greener and maybe you're just getting your start and you're in live shows, but there's something to be said with practicing every single day working at your craft versus someone who may be doing more film and TV gigs,
right?
But they may not work, you know, they may go a couple months between gigs and they're not practicing it all the time.
There is a very distinct difference between live stunt show fighting and stuff versus film and television.
Right.
And so, yeah, you're getting tons of reps, but it is, you do got to make a change when you transfer over, just like acting, right? Like when you're on stage, you're doing these big movements.
You have to be loud to the people in the back.
That doesn't work on film. Right. So it's, you know, same thing. You have to be able to adjust to film and television. Right. And I have seen, and I think this is why a lot of stunt coordinators kind of harp on live stunt show people, is that they don't adapt. And they try to do the same thing. And they think they're great because they've been doing this for so long.
Right.
But they,
and you always have to adapt.
They can't adapt and switch it to what works for film.
How how many hours a week do you guys like rehearse? Like, are you guys, or is it every day? Like, what, you know, how
for live shows specifically, or like
in general?
I would say most people are usually training two or three times a week, like getting together with friends, or like maybe like a standing once a week with a group, or several skills in a week. But it just kind of depends on what your schedule is, and you certainly want to try to fit in as much as you can.
Yeah, and you know, there are times where you may not be training per se, but you're coming up with fights, or you're you know, talking through ideas, and
even just watching action films is a form of training.
Right.
But there was like points in time in my in my career where I have I was doing like 20, 30 hours a week of training, because I was really trying to get good about a certain thing, you know, like, and then there are times where I'm maybe go a month without training, you know?
Do you find when you take a break, like for a month, like, do you find it like, not that it's harder to like get back into it, but like maybe look a little rusty.
Yeah. Or, you like, definitely can get rusty.
Yeah. Like that quick in a month.
I don't have that problem.
Not me. Hair flip.
Yeah. But my brain is like always firing, you know, like they talk about how mental reps are just as important as physical reps. And so I've always got fights running through my head all the time. I'm always running through, like, we'll be watching a movie and we'll see someone fall, and like I'm picturing like, how would I do that stunt? And I, you know? And so even though I may not physically be training, I'm mentally training all the time.
What if you have like a bad day and you're supposed to go fight and like perform, like how do you kind of put, you know, what you're going through in the back burner and not let it affect your performance?
Because
it's all safety again.
Yeah, you definitely have to. I think you just, it's like a muscle that you work out, like compartmentalizing. Once you step onto a set, you should be leaving all of your drama behind, anything that's going on. Yeah. Like, and you just focus on the task at hand. And and there's kind of a something a little zen about that anyway, because it takes so much of your focus.
Right.
That there really isn't room for anything else.
I isolate it pretty well. One thing I do is, on certain sets, when it's like, say if you're doing a high fall or something, you know, like when I first started doing that, because that's something I've done hundreds of, is that when I get up there, I do this 3, 2, 1. And then like, and when I do that, like it's calming everything down and I'm ready to go. And it's, there's no, it like, no matter how scared I am up to that point, because there are times when like I'm like, this feels sketchy. It's not, it's as safe as we can possibly make it.
Your brain screaming.
But
at
you know, like you're like, and but it, for some reason, every time I get to one in my head, it just boom, gone.
It's not that stunt people.
I need to learn that. I'm like, boom, gone.
It's not that stunt people are fearless. It's that we've learned to manage the fear, through training and knowing that we've managed the risks as much as they can be managed.
And trust. It's really a lot of trust.
And visualization can be really helpful right before you do a stunt. Just taking a moment to take that deep breath and check in with yourself. And before they do a stunt, they always call out stunt set. And that's your moment to be like, stunt set. Like, now I'm ready. Just to kind of, and it's almost like once you've done it for a while, that's almost your cue. Like, it's that all of that little stuff that's happening right before a scene rolls. You kind of get used to that rhythm.
Ooh,
and then so that when they do ask stunt set, that your body's ready. Like, I can feel it right now, actually. I'm like, just kind of thinking about it. But that's super important that you can settle into that right before they roll.
Do you guys prefer, like, doing these stunts in a studio or, like, more outside? Or does it not really matter as long as, like, you have it down and you feel comfortable? Are there any locations that you're like, no, off limits? I wouldn't want to do that.
I don't want to speak for her.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same, yeah.
I will say that I prefer motion capture over stunts at this point in my career. Because I have pads.
You can have all the pads in the world.
I was going to say, like, what exactly is motion capture for someone who wouldn't know?
So, motion capture, for lack of a better way to describe it in my head, is you're in a big open room with tons of cameras.
Okay.
And you're wearing a suit full of little balls so they can pick up all your movement. Oh,
that's what it is. Like, for video games.
Yeah.
And there is no set, right?
Okay.
So, it's all in your head. You're they're like,
I feel like that's hard.
This is what it's like. And you're like, cool. And they're like, so you get hit by this giant monster who backhands you and you're going to fly 5 feet back. Cool. And you're like, cool. You know?
And then you see it, you're like,
yeah, right. And then you see it in a video game and you're like, oh, that's cool. But like, when you're on set and you step in, you're like, you see it.
Yes.
You know, you're in it.
Yeah.
You can look around. There's blood on the floor. And there's, you know, and so like that makes character work easier, I think. But being on the motion capture set and being like, we're gonna have you just die 30 times so we have a bunch of different ways that characters can die in this game,
right?
And you're like, cool. And you get to hit you get to hit a pad every time, versus on set you might be hitting concrete, you know. So it's
are you guys wearing anything like specific, or are you guys just like wearing your like regular clothes, but you practice it and it's safe, like, you know,
for stunts or mocap? We wear pads.
Okay. Like underneath the outfit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
as much as you can.
As you can get away with. And sometimes for the stunt women, it's hard because we might be the characters wearing a mini skirt. And
in The Boys, like Starlight, she has like, you know, like a little skirt on. I'm like, where are her pads? Like,
In the hips.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you can buy very low profile ones. You can buy skin tone ones, but sometimes you just can't get away with it, and then you just have to try to fall in a way that you're not wrecking yourself too bad.
Stunt women have it rough.
Yeah. Like, oh my god,
running in heels. Yeah. That's a
what about like wigs and stuff? Have you had to perform with like wigs on and stuff?
Oh yeah.
How often?
They put them on real tight. The whole time the hair and makeup, they're like, I'm sorry, as they put in like the 100th pin really tight, and you're like this, and you're like, no, it's fine, they're always like, we're so sorry, and I'm like, it is my entire job to be uncomfortable.
Oh my god.
They're always like so appreciative when we're like, some people never complain, and it's, I mean, mostly true, because we're just used to being uncomfortable. You're used to getting,
like, hurt. like, not really hurt, but, like,
your entire day is not even a stunt. It's just that it's something that's going to be so uncomfortable that the actress doesn't want to do it. Being in water all day for some things, or being drenched in blood. Oftentimes, it's not really a stunt, but I'm getting covered in innards. So they put the stunt woman in because the actress is like, nah, we'll just shoot her from behind and get the stunt woman covered in blood. Cool.
Have you done underwater stunts as well?
We would like to get into more of those because we recently became scuba instructors.
Yeah, so you're comfortable in the water, underwater. Yeah.
So that, as much as stunts is kind of its own insular little world, there's an even smaller subsection of stunts that is very water focused.
Okay.
So we need to find those people. Hi.
Yeah.
we're scuba instructors, and like, we would
like more water. Would Avatar, like the second one, be like all water stunt?
Garrett Warren, I think, was the stunt coordinator for that, and you know, like, he's coordinated so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Legend.
But everybody that I've ever met that worked on that is just, like, everybody that I know that worked on it are amazing people.
Wow.
Like, so if his whole team were, like, the people I know that were on it, that was one hell of a team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must have been fun days on set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best, too, when it's, like, it's fun going to work and you enjoy what you do.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like nothing beats that feeling.
The variety is great.
Yeah.
And I get to act and do stunts on, and that just keeps things really fresh. People ask all the time, like, well, which one do you like more, or which one do you think you're going to focus on? I'm like, neither. I'm like going back and forth. It's really nice.
Wow. Yeah. What is like the funnest set or production that you guys have worked on? I mean, you know, over the years.
That is a tough one.
I mean, our little indie just kind of stands out because it was our first time stunt coordinating a feature, and it was a really cool team. And
all around,
a cool thing about indie is that it's everyone's just so excited to be there and to be making it happen from the ground up. Everyone's working, like doing four people's jobs just to make it happen. So everyone's very invested. Eager, and the energy is there. And I have another indie film that just came out, the Mean One.
Let's hear about
now,
it.
Now streaming, but it was a similar thing. Like it ended up going to theaters last year.
Amazing.
And nobody like foresaw that happening. Like that's it going that far.
Cooler. Yeah.
And it was so rewarding to have all of these people's very hard work and coming together to make this thing happen. And then people get to go to movie theaters. And for a lot of us, for me, that was my first time on a big screen. Oh, and I got to take my mom to the premiere. Cool. And it was very cool.
What was the movie about? Are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, I can't talk about it. It's out now. Okay. It was totally unauthorized Dr. Seuss kind of thing. Where,
okay. It is a parody.
It is a parody. That's how we got away with it. Okay. It's similar to The Grinch, who we now call The Mean One, and I played Cindy.
Right. Oh, cool. Oh, my
God. Yeah, that story. And in our parody, he is a murderous beast.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of scary a little bit.
So I got to do some stunts and acting in that one, and it was a lot of fun.
Wow! That's
now awesome. It's available on streaming.
Where? What platform? Where can we find it?
Amazon, cool. Apple TV Plus, and Vudu, and YouTube. Yeah,
amazing! Check it out. Yeah. That's so cool. What about you? Do you feel the same way?
I wasn't. I do love indies. I think indies are typically more fun to be on than bigger sets.
How come?
Because there's like people on indies want to be there.
Right.
And they're excited.
Not to say that's never the case. And, right.
No. I get what you mean. Yeah.
When you're on set, I feel like people tend to take our jobs in the industry for granted, especially once they've been doing it for a few years, and they kind of like, it's old news to them. They're like, oh, you know,
get a little jaded.
I'm moving C-stands again, you know? And they just like, you know, everybody knows the old grumpy grip. You know? Like, so
on an indie, you're like, I'm moving C-stands today.
You know, I'm here. I'm
so there's a vitality there that's really fun to be on. So I do agree. I think indie films are much more fun. And if indie films paid more, I would love to do nothing but indie films. I prefer them so much more than
a resurgence and appreciation for indie right now during the strike.
I was going to say, are you guys affected by the strike?
Absolutely. Yeah. We all are. Yeah.
Yes.
It's been a rough road, but very important and necessary.
Right.
That it's happening now. Yeah. I mean,
and we were super grateful because when the strike first happened, video games were still okay.
Right.
And so we're like, cool. Well, at least, you know, this motion capture is still good for a little while.
Yeah,
and now we're going on strike against the video game. And so you're like, well, now that's gone. So
what do you guys do in a situation like that when things are on hold? Like even the pandemic, I mean, we ended up like getting back on set during the pandemic, but like that first, you know, couple months, it was like, what's going to happen? Like, are we going to go to work? Like, do we die if we get COVID? Like, what's going to happen?
And even then, video games were going strong because you know, they could have one actor in the volume and
I worked on a
acting
game
by themselves for all day long, you know,
so. Just me in a mask in the middle of a room with nothing in it. And I, the people running the session were on a big screen.
So I feel like that's just like way harder because you don't know like what's around you. So like, how do you know like when to like, I don't know, dodge a hit or
it's all in your imagination. It's like being a little kid again.
Wow, that's playing that's pretend. Fun. Yeah, yeah.
And since I started in acting, like it really appeals to me.
Right,
and I love that return to childhood pretend, and it's awesome.
Yeah, when you're standing there, they're like, you've got a 50-foot tall Godzilla-like creature in front of you, and you're like having to pretend.
Okay, where's my eye line for that? Yeah. Does this look like it's 50 foot tall? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Wow, that is so cool. Where do you guys see yourselves in like the next like 10 years? Like, what are your goals?
Oh, that's a good question.
Married.
Married next year for sure, yep. Right? That's exciting.
I think 10 years from now, I would really like to be choreographing mainly. Like, I've had a long career of using my body.
Yeah.
So whether, like, I was in the military for 8 years, martial artist for a long time, then stunts, and I've done a lot of like construction work and just you know, beating up my body and I want to be able to play with my grandkids,
right?
So like 10 years from now, I really hope I'm not still hitting concrete. So I'd rather be choreographing and stuff like that mainly full-time at that point. That's kind of
That's a good goal.
I'd like to still be acting, and the stunt coordinator route appeals to me. I really enjoy it on the smaller things that I've done so far. Yeah. And both trajectories that appeal to me are, like, I really admire people who become series regulars and then get their chance to kind of direct and executive produce. Yeah. That appeals to me. And then now there are more and more stunt coordinators who are getting into second unit directing and then full on directing. I mean, Sam Hargrave was a great example.
Yeah.
And Jeff Wolf is doing it too. And it's really inspiring to me to see and have the industry see how multi-talented people, stunt performers are, stunt coordinators are. And why limit yourself to one outlet? Like, let's do it all.
Let's do it.
I like acting. I like stunts. Exactly. I think directing will be something that will appeal to me in the future.
Yeah. Do you feel like the stunt world is a very male-run industry, or do you feel like it's pretty co-ed?
I'm going to leave that to you.
Stepping it can be. I feel like it's getting better and better, and there are more and more female stunt coordinators.
Yeah.
I've had good experiences. I know I've heard that some people haven't.
Yeah.
But I've had really supportive stunt performer male friends around me and coordinators who like believe that I'm just as valuable, and I really appreciate that. Yeah. And like you were saying, with the kind of respect to stunt women often not getting to wear pads like the boys, I would say that there's a pretty good amount of respect for that. And
I would respect that.
I will say that most of the stunt performers that I respect the most are female.
Yeah.
Because they're always having to do just stupid hard shit.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't wear as much clothing. So
I know. I'm like,
they don't have pads. You know,
what
like,
you bruise like a peach? Like, what do you do?
I do. I do. I bruise very easily.
Me too.
But you just
suck it up and do it, I guess.
Arnica gel is wonderful.
Oh, you put it on after?
After. It really helps with bruising.
Good to know.
Yep. Trade secret.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, getting injured is never the plan. But if it were to happen while you guys are, like, shooting, how do you handle that on set? Like, does somebody come in and, like, step in? Or is it, like, you reschedule the day? Or, like...
The stunt coordinator is always close by.
Okay.
So they would be the first one to come in, and then there's a medic available.
Right.
Like, you never want that to happen, but there's there's also the stunt coordinator who might come up and be like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Maybe no more of that one. Maybe just one more take on that. I think I just got one more."
Yeah, like knowing your limits too, right?
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And that comes with doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you first get into stunts, whatever the stunt coordinator asks, you want to give, or the director,
right?
You know, and so if the director comes up to you and be like, "Hey, you know, we're probably gonna try this take like 20 times from different directions,"
you're like,
and you're flying backwards off of a car and landing on your back on concrete, right? And like when you first get in, you know, hopefully no director would ever ask that, but big example. So you know, if when you first get in, you're like, yeah, and you're like all about hitting the ground 20 times from that, you know?
Right.
And then you go in for a while, and luckily, hopefully, the stunt coordinator would be like, you get three. They tell the director, like,
they stand up for us.
You get three steps. But when you first get in, you're like, yeah, you know, I'll do it as many times as I need to. then you've been in for a while and you go up to the stunt coordinator like, this stunt, bro, they get two.
Like, what know, kind of, like, yeah, like what kind of stunt would you say would be like, okay, it's two, maybe like one, maybe even one. Like, has that ever happened where like we're only doing it one time?
Usually if you're only doing it once, it's because of like, wardrobe. Like a,
oh, like, not because like of an explosion or something?
Yeah, or an explosion. Because like I've done stunt where I've like LA's Finest I was on and they had one suit for me.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to be doing this gunfight and I run out and I get shot. And I turn around and I fall backwards into this fountain that looks like this. And okay. So it's got these sharp concrete points.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's just big enough for my head to go in between the concrete points. And they're like, you get one take.
Yeah.
And oh my God. I'm like, well, that's no so pressure.
Nerve- yeah.
And it's a blind backwards fall into it. So I'm running and I get shot and I have to turn and fall blindly into this fountain without hitting the concrete.
And that didn't make you nervous?
Oh, I was nervous as hell.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and I was like, it's already nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I've got all this is going on, and I could easily hit my head right on the point of that concrete.
Right.
And now I've got one take to do it, and, you know, like...
No pressure is on.
Yeah, so... Oh my God. But usually it's because they're like, that's the only wardrobe we have. Yeah,
and it takes time to reset these things. Like,
right,
you would have had to get them dry. You would have had to reset a squib and get.
Yeah, and they're like, we don't have time. Yeah. Like, we're losing light. Nope. You know, so we've only got one shot at this, and if you don't get it, we just don't use it. We move on. You know?
And it's so funny because it takes so long to set these shots up, and it is a split second where you see them get shot, just, and it just it feels like it's going to be this big moment, and then and you watch, like, the and it's like. The camera's panning and he gets shot and falls on the thing. And it's like such a cool, like that was a cool bit. And it's just so fast.
Are you guys ever allowed to like look at the monitor and see after like how it turned out after you did the stunt? Or is it more just like, no?
Sometimes. Sometimes the coordinator will be like, dude, come look at this.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Or they've got it on their phone or something.
Yeah. I was working on, it was like a promo commercial for Mayans.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, that's so cool.
And the stunt coordinator was constantly like, guys, look at this. Like, look at that. We got it on video. Yeah.
It was
like,
really cool.
He's like recording the monitor and then bringing his phone over to show us.
That's exciting.
And then like, the heartbreaking and frustrating part is that didn't even get shown.
No.
Sometimes you have such cool footage and you're like, this
I didn't even think about that.
And they never even showed that.
Yeah, because it's all, in the end, it's like what the editor puts together. In and it's end, like, he might be like, oh, this looks good. But you had a whole like sequence of things.
We found his arm that we only knew because of
the tattoos.
And we're like, oh, there was a shot of his arm, and that was all they used.
That's because I was hitting the ground.
Yeah,
so it was like me flipping into a puddle, and you see my arm, and as I'm hitting the puddle, and water flying up, and so like, but you can't see my head, so that's the only way you know that was me hitting the ground was my arm.
It was so epic. It was like 10 people fighting in the dark in the rain in slow mo, and it was so cool.
Oh my God,
never gets used.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, like what? So what like shows or productions have you guys worked on? Like. Name drops.
The Rookie, Suicide no way! Vegas, 911, 911 Lone Star.
Cool.
LA's kind of become a TV town.
Yes.
So we have a lot of TV here. So I haven't done a whole lot of big movies.
Did you guys shoot at LA Center Studios for The Rookie?
Yeah, I have shot there. If it was, I know. I think The Rookie was on location out somewhere in LA. But I have shot there multiple times.
Yeah, because when I worked on Fatal Attraction, The Rookie was shooting on the lot at LA Center Studios. They were making the lobby look like a police station. So I was like, oh my God, it's like so crazy. What, like how they try to like you know make you think it's a police station when it's really not. It's like just some office
movie magic.
Movie magic.
Movie magic.
So how many like productions in a year? Like do you guys like just try to hop into it like
as
right
many
away
as we can?
Okay,
for whoever will hire.
Yeah,
us.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's really what it is, right? Like it's just trying to get on as much. I do a lot of rigging as well.
How did you get into like rigging? Like, how do you practice that?
You know, this industry is weird.
It's a lot of
it is. I'm
people.
Like,
we met a guy. We were on a set and we were working together. And we met a guy, and there's a whole company called the ATS team, Alpine Training Services.
Oh, cool!
They are the company that do they build American Ninja Warrior. Is really what they're kind of known for. Cool. And so we met this guy, and then I get called from like three different people going like, hey, I got your number from Todd. Can you come do some rigging for me? And I'm like, I don't know how to rig. And they're like, we'll teach you. He says you're cool. That's all that matters. Like,
That is a huge part of this industry.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, as long as we enjoy being around you, we'll teach you the skills.
Right.
And so I'm like, cool. And so that's what it was, is me getting hired, no skill, and constantly going like, how do I tie this rope? You know, how do I do this? Like, and then I got hired on by the company a couple months later and worked on Ninja Warrior.
Cool.
Which is, that is an adventure.
I'm sure.
And then they hired me for Big Brother, and then I worked Ninja again this last year.
Do they have you tested out before, like, having contestants do it?
We get to play on him.
Okay. But, like, yeah, like, how do they know it's, like, safe,
so,
you know?
Oh, so we do a whole, there's a whole process to it. So when we create the ideas, we build them in the shop, and we have testers testing them out.
Okay.
And then we realize, like, okay, so this is a little too far for our testers, so let's dial this back, or we'll look at it. And before the testers are even on it, are the guys who we have building it, which... those guys, that's an amazing team. That's like the team to be on.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get on that team since I started for this company. And I just worked with all of those guys in Mexico, just us. And
fun.
So it was a really big, really cool thing to be really part of that team.
Yeah. That's
but they test all of them. They make sure that they're safe, first, things aren't going to break. Yeah. And that's before we let testers on it. Wow. Then the testers test them, and then we kind of dial in the obstacle.
Okay.
And then of course we build it for the show. So it's a whole process, like months and months and months of preparation before we actually build everything.
That's good though. Yeah.
Before he got on it as a rigger, I used to go out and test it, and boy, is that a lot of fun to just go and play on this massive like playground.
That sounds fun.
It is. And when you are working as a test, or like just going there for fun as a tester to try it out, you can't compete. But if you're ever thinking about it, like, it's a good way to just see, like, do I like this enough? But that, man, you need like specific training just for that. We have a bunch of friends that compete on American Ninja Warrior, and hats off to them, because that is a very specific, focused kind of training.
Yeah.
And you're also like potentially opening yourself up to injury.
Right.
So it's kind of a consideration when you do stunts, like you have to really love that in order to put that amount of time in it and train for it properly so that you're not getting injured.
Right.
So that it's not taking you out of work in other places.
Yeah.
Would you say your favorite genre is action? Or does it not really have to be action?
I mean,
because like scary movies, like I'm sure like sometimes you're flying, you know, if there's an exorcism, you're getting thrown into the wall or whatever.
To be in or to watch?
Yeah.
To be in.
Okay.
But we can, I mean,
as
to watch.
As an actor, I like a lot of, I tend to gravitate towards drama.
Okay.
But I do like the action stuff. And then lately I've just been doing, a lot of horror movies, both acting and stunts and stunt coordinating, some cool little horror indies.
Ooh.
I am definitely a fan of fantasy action.
Cool.
Like, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, and you know, like, anything with swords I'm pretty much in love with.
Unfortunately, they do all of that. So, like, in the UK.
Far away. Yeah.
It's all far away.
What's, like, the like, furthest you guys have traveled for performing? Like, you know.
They hire people over there for that, for the most part. Unless you're, like, doubling a lead, maybe. They would bring you over. Or you have some sort of specialty that they couldn't find over there. But, so we don't get a lot of fantasy stuff to play.
Because, like, in the UK, there's actually a school. You go to university for that. And so, and you have to have this, like, whole certification and stuff. And so... they can come here and work.
Yeah.
But we can't go there and work because we don't have those certifications that they have.
What do you guys think about like superhero stunts and stuff? Like, you know, there's many superhero movies now and like types of superhero stories. There's DC, Marvel, there's like The Boys, like there's all kinds of stuff. Like, do you like what stands out to you guys in like a superhero fight? Or like, what's a like, you need to have this to make it like feel legit?
For me, it's body mechanics sell everything. And so if your character is super strong or you know, whatever the case, but your body movement doesn't sell that.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get away with that to some point if you got good stunt performers, right? Because as stunt performers, our job is to make the hero look good.
Right.
Right. Like right. that's really how it works, is we get these big hits and fly and make it look like they rock this. But for me, body mechanics are the thing that I feel like, if you don't have proper body mechanics when you're portraying a character, it doesn't sell it. And you're like, this feels off. And you may not know why.
Yeah. Because sometimes it doesn't always hit for me. I'm like, but then sometimes you see some cool fights and you're like, wow, like that's awesome.
It has to serve the story too. Like action for action's sake. I mean, we love action. Yeah. We appreciate that it employs us too.
Right.
But it's like, if it's just action for action's sake and you're not serving the story at large, it's just gratuitous. Yeah. And that's what a good stunt coordinator will be conscious of that. Like we don't just like, if you've got this cool move in your head, but you can't figure out how to get it to fit the story and serve the characters, then
what's the point?
Then save it for another one.
Oh, yeah.
That's my problem with a lot of fight choreographers these days, is that they come up with amazing fight scenes. It's not that they don't have the skill to come up with amazing fight scenes.
Right.
They're doing a fight scene that doesn't tell the story that's already being told. And, you know, fight scenes should elevate the story, not be a side dish.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
right. And sometimes there's even movies where it's just all fighting and not really any story. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah. You know?
I think you need, like, balance, right?
Well, you know, like, John Wick, right? Like,
right.
When you go to a John Wick movie, you know what you're getting.
Exactly.
You're there for gratuitous violence.
Right.
And that's it.
But we all care about the dog story. I know. Right? There's that too.
But now it's just like kicking ass, right?
Yeah. And so there's a time and place for that, where you get to just shut off and kind of just enjoy the craziness that is happening.
Right.
But it's not often, you know?
Right. What about, like, working with kids? And, like, is that, like, have you guys done that before?
I'm actually, we're working with a bunch of kids right now.
How do you handle that?
Putting a play together.
Very carefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, like, obviously adults, like, you can be a little bit, I don't know if tough is, like, the right word. But, like, I feel like kids are so fragile. So it's like,
They are. And they're willing as fuck.
Right. They're down. They're like, I'll throw myself down. Yeah. Like, as a kid, you don't feel pain.
We're not quite there yet. We're gonna work on our progression.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, you know, I think I'm going to have, you know, you get hit and you kind of just, like, roll off it over there. And they're like, well, once I saw you do this, like, flip and land on your back. And
I want to do that.
Like, I want to do that. And, like, you're like, whoa, calm down. Like, if you want to do that, we can do that. Right. Let's pull out the pad and let's work it. Like, you know, I don't want to kill their enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, they also need to know that, like, that's what you want to do. Well, we have some work we got to put in to get there. They're really good about it, but they're willing as hell. If you told them, like, hey, I want you to throw yourself against that
wall, they'll
do it. Yeah. They're full force, you know? Like,
yeah, no, I believe
that. You also have to think about the parents.
I was going to say, like, have you guys ever dealt with, like, situations where, like, you know, it's like, you're not going to put the kid in danger, obviously. You're doing it the most safe you can, but, like, the parents are like, no, like, it's not happening. I don't want my kid to do that.
Thankfully not yet.
No.
That hasn't really been a thing, but this is our second year working with Beverly Hills High School, and we're doing a production of She Kills Monsters, which, for those of you who don't know, is based on D&D, so there's lots of fighting.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different weapon, and last year we did a play called The Play That Goes Wrong, which was also very cool.
Yeah.
The stage collapses in a bunch of different ways, and so there's some stunt work in there. And then a couple little fight things, but it's usually like two people at a time last year, and that was very manageable and fun. And now this year there's like eight high school students on stage all swinging a different weapon at the same time.
Right.
While doing, I just put together this fight scene that involves a like cheerleaders, so we decided we wanted the cheerleaders to fight like kind of almost as a cheer routine.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
So they're all doing the same moves, but everyone else is doing different moves around them, and it had to be this cohesive fight scene, and we pulled it off.
And you know, eight people on a stage with 5 different elevations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that too. The
and, stage. Yep. You know, my fight choreographer brain is just like going crazy. It's like, yes. Yeah, it's like yeah, there's yeah, so many cool things yeah, I could do. And
right, like, she has to dial me really back. Natural for yeah, him. And his brain just goes like this. And my brain goes like this.
You guys balance each other out, yeah, right?
Yeah. She has to dial me back because I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, well, if we do this and we do that. And like, I'm like, as weird as it sounds, I like to think of it as like a musical score, you know, like,
yes,
you yeah, know, and so I see the story of like the, of the actual show itself. And I want that fight to mimic it and mm-hmm, follow that story. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I can see it playing out in my head, almost like a dance going with music,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so it's so fun to me to be able to follow that and see it and pull at these little threads and be like, what if we do this? And what if we change this? And, you know, and it just becomes, yeah, just
I that's so it, fun. Like, I love that you guys love what you do.
Yeah,
like, got it.
And then the second somebody goes, "Hey, what if we do this?" My brain goes, "Boom! What if we do that?" And like, it's like off in that direction.
Yeah,
and it's really a lot of fun.
You can like, you tell that he likes choreographing?
Yeah,
fights?
No, that's amazing. That's so
definitely
fun.
His favorite.
How do you guys like determine your rates with like, you know, stunt performing? Like how, like especially with like indie and yeah, maybe not indie, you know,
or
like
SAG.
Yeah. Oh, you're SAG. Okay,
so
cool.
Stunt performers are also covered under SAG. So yeah, we have our base rate. And then they also do stunt adjustments depending mm-hmm, on how risky a stunt it is.
Okay, okay.
You will be financially rewarded or how many times they decide to do it in a day.
Do you get paid for rehearsals as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And if I'm doing like a low budget thing
yeah,
and somebody's like, how much would you charge me for this?
We always say the SAG rate if it's and is a SAG project.
Right.
I'll be like, this is the SAG rate. Can mm-hmm, you give me that? It's always the first thing to go.
Right.
And if they're like, I can't afford that, mm-hmm, and I'm like, cool.
Cool.
Right, so what if we? All right. What about this price?
Right.
And then I was like, this is like, if you go any lower than this, we're gonna have to change some stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if you want me to.
It's good communication.
Slam
you know,
against, you yeah, know, like fall off over a railing onto like a car hood.
Yeah.
Even if it's not high, even if it's only like 3 foot.
You're still
right?
throwing
like,
yourself on
I'm
the
still
car.
Falling yeah, on a car hood. So, you know, like you wanted yeah, me to do that for full SAG rate? Totally. No problem.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're wanting to pay me $300 to do that? you know,
yeah,
we're going to change this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, like you
let
know,
me show you this awesome fight scene. You can do it.
I'm a,
right.
I'm a fan of. I don't ever want to say no.
Yeah.
Like if you tell me, unless it's not safe, but
right,
if you tell me
right,
like, hey, this is what I want, then I'll go. Cool. I see what you want, and then I'll try to figure it out. And if I can't do it, I'll go. Hey, couldn't pull that off, but we can do this instead.
Mm-hmm.
How does that
mm-hmm,
work? You know, like you know, I don't want to just tell you no. You can't do that.
Right.
I want to give yeah, you an option. Like, hey.
Yeah.
We tried this. That's not going to work. Let's mm-hmm, let's make this sweet adjustment here, and
yeah,
it works out. You know, and
you're compromising.
People,
that's good.
Yeah,
though.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, no one wants to be told no, especially
right,
in a world like this. Is everybody's art medium? Right?
Yeah,
like everybody there's got their hands in this art,
right?
And so when they have an idea, they don't want to be told no.
Yeah,
they want to be told like, I see what you want. There's really no way for us to do that.
Yeah,
so we've come up with this way to do it.
Mm.
Does that work for you?
I like
you know,
that.
That's
cool.
Usually a better way to
find
go around.
Yeah.
It.
Cheats. Yeah. We had a stunt in our feature where they wanted to do a car hit and we're like, I don't think you really have that in your budget to do
yeah,
a car hit.
Yeah.
But he found a way to cheat it and he doubled the guy and then they
that's
cheated
cool,
the camera angle and he just started on the roof of the car and then
rolled
down.
Off.
And we filmed it and from it, inside.
Yeah.
So
cool. Oh, yeah.
With different camera angles, it totally
God,
is going to be cut
yeah,
together
you
and
do
look
so
like
much,
just
so,
someone got hit.
Yeah.
So we filmed it from inside and in the back seat and we have the actor in front
mm-hmm,
of the car. Or behind the car, and so they're filming it, and then the camera looks forward for a second, and you hear the sound,
yeah,
and then you see the actor turn around to look behind, and you see me rolling off the top.
Okay, there
so,
you go.
And then during this time, the actor has come around and is in front, and so I fall off the car down,
this
and
is
he
a
stands
cowboy
up,
switch.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
mm-hmm,
so it looks like he got hit, rolled over the car, and,
genius.
Yeah.
So in the old westerns, they used to have the stunt guy come out and do a fight scene and then run back into the saloon and or around a
and
pillar
then,
or whatever. And then
the actor
comes
come
back out. Yeah. Oh my cowboy God. Switch.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's so effective when you see them pull it off. And I think that's something that I get kind of excited about whenever we're doing on set, because it's exciting to know that we have this little secret. I did it with an actress where I got thrown over a table and they were filming, so that as soon as I got thrown over the table, she came out, and it was so cool.
I was going to say, like, what would be the funnest part about your job, in your opinion?
The people.
The people. Okay. Yeah.
The variety too, like it's never the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. Never a boring day on set for you guys.
We couldn't work in an office; we would die.
And I guess my last question would be: what advice would you give someone who wants to start out and be a stunt performer?
Train. That's my advice for anybody that wants to be in front of the camera, mm-hmm. whether you're an actor, mm-hmm. stunt performer. Train. Never assume you can pick up something on the day.
Okay.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. so many actors have watched gun and on film, mm-hmm. and they feel like they can pick up a gun and act.
Right.
And you can't.
Yeah.
You need to have some training.
But you can't.
Because otherwise you think you look cool.
Right.
But you don't.
But then Brandon watches it and goes,
and then, you know, like swords, you know, if you want to, like, I'm not saying you have to be an expert in everything.
Right.
Right. But if you've got a role coming up where you know you're going to be holding a gun, mm-hmm. go take a quick class, learn how to do it.
Right.
If you've got a role or if you've got an audition coming up where they have some sword work, mm-hmm. go take a sword class, mm-hmm. and learn how that sword works. So that when you audition, you have the best chance of succeeding. Right. And then if you get the role, go train some more. Right.
Like, practice makes perfect.
Practice,
right?
You know, like, train for the thing. I mean, that would be my number one thing, is like, mm-hmm. try a little bit of everything that's mm-hmm. going to allow you to perform the type of acting or stunts that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. You know? I like that. It's good. What about you, Crystal?
I would piggyback on that and say, be a forever student and just accept mm-hmm. that you, even if you've been training and performing for mm-hmm. years, you don't know everything. There's always more to learn. And some people scoff about going back to basics and be like, oh, I already know how to throw a punch. Mm. But, like, if you really break it down, you can go back to basics and learn more.
So much,
Because you have all of this experience, you can go back and revisit that and be like, huh, I've never, like, thought about that. Or this is a cool new way to play with camera angles. Or learn about everything, not just stunts, but, like, learning camera is going to help your stunts.
Right.
Take it if you aren't already an actor, like taking mm-hmm. an acting class will exponentially help your reactions in a fight or mm-hmm. your thought process. Like, if we can see your whole inner monologue in the middle of a fight, like, just so much as like looking for your next assailant, like it's something that you might not think about if you're not an actor, because you're not acting in the moment as you're fighting. And also just recognizing that everybody has their own path mm-hmm. and believing in yourself, because mm-hmm. like I didn't have a lot of like classes growing mm-hmm. up. We didn't have a lot of money in our family, so I didn't take gymnastics or dance or martial arts or any of that. And so when I was first getting into stunts, I was like, well, this is fun, but like I just kind of wrote it off for mm-hmm. so long mm-hmm. and like didn't commit to it, because I'm like, well, I don't have experience in that. Like, I'm not that. And then eventually, like, I got cast in Marvel Live because I'd been training with stunt people and just having fun with it.
Right.
And I learned so much from my fellow performers, and we all leveled up together. And then by the time I got back from tour, I hadn't even realized how much I had learned until I started auditioning for things mm-hmm. and being like, oh, like, it's easy to pick up this choreography now. Like, it's in my body.
Right.
And it's not a struggle. And there are so many people that will tell you that you can't do something, but you shouldn't be one of them.
Yeah.
And I was one of them. So now I know, like, no, I'm gonna
go for it. Yeah.
My life.
Yeah.
I would like to also add on to that to just be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nobody wants to spend 16 hours on set with an asshole.
No.
So like, if you want to be successful, one of the best things you can do is just be nice.
Don't be an asshole.
be fun to be around. You know, like, that's probably more that's probably better for your success than actual skill.
Absolutely.
No, because if you're a good stunt performer and you're nice, it's like double combo. But if you're like, you know, a dick, and you're it's like Yeah. He's good at his work, but he's not nice.
Hashtag don't be a dick.
Yeah. So where can people find you online? Where can people book you? You know, throw it out there.
I'm on Instagram as Crystal in La La Land. Mm-hmm. My name is spelled weird. It's K-R-Y-S-T-L-E. K-R-Y-S-T-L-E in La La Land.
I'm Rogue Stunts 1X.
Cool. Your name's also spelled weird, but you don't have to spell it in your Instagram. C-R-A-N-D-I-N.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty much. I never post on social media.
Okay.
If you follow her, she kind of posts for me.
Okay.
The other advice is to be better at self promotion than branding. Yeah. No one knows how skilled he is.
Not that no one knows how skilled he is.
You got to promote yourself.
A lot more people could know how skilled he is.
I get jobs from word
of
mouth.
You guys should do. I know TikTok is like very like young and.
We both started TikTok and then just fell off.
You guys like TikTok. Posting your stunt routine or just like any look like that'd be so cool to watch.
We started a Highland Games TikTok.
Oh, cool.
Because we both compete in the Highland Games.
Yeah.
And you posted like it's called like Kilted Couple. And we did a couple of videos and then we just stopped.
Yeah. We're not going to
stay consistent. people would love seeing that. Like I would enjoy seeing it. Like the whole, like when you're talking about the Bible scene, I was like, I want to see that. Where can I find that?
We want you to see it. Yeah. It should come out next year.
I think they're trying to finish editing it by the end of the year.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Yeah, can you post it on that?
Oh, absolutely. I will post.
Yes.
I will post.
I won't post.
I'm waiting for it. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on the podcast. And I can't wait to see what you guys do next.
That's awesome.
All right, guys. See you guys next week. Bye. Yeah.